Welcome to Alaska Edition, a weekly public affairs program produced by Alaska Public Media in the studios of KAKM.
Hello, and welcome to Alaska Edition on Alaska Public Media. I'm your host, Ellen Lockyer. Today, we'll be talking to some Alaskans who make the business world their beat. My guests today are Shauna Hegna, who is Chief Administrative Officer with the Alaska Native Tribal Health Consortium. Welcome, Shauna.
Thank you.
And here to give some tips on how to get some assistance in starting and maintaining a business is Small Business Administration Alaska Director Sam Dickey. Hi, Sam.
Hi.
Welcome to the show. Well, let's get started with Shauna Hegna. She is a woman who has, I think, a very complex job as a chief administrating officer for the Alaska Native Tribal Health Consortium. So what exactly does your job entail, Shauna?
Well, I like to think it's a little bit of everything. So the Alaska Native Tribal Health Consortium is a very complex organization with lots of moving parts. Most people, when they think of ANTHC, think of the Alaska Native Medical Center. ANTHC co-manages the medical center here in Anchorage with our partner, South Central Foundation. Mm-hmm. But we also have a number of programs and services that we operate every day on the ground in villages in partnership with tribal councils all across Alaska. And that varies from health research to wellness, training, prevention, education, outreach. We also work a lot with supporting our regions and our tribes in constructing, designing, operating, and maintaining water and sewer infrastructure all across Alaska. So as the Chief Administrative Officer, I have an opportunity to support the work that we do in our villages, as well as a number of what I would say is our internal departments that help keep an organization functioning on a day-to-day basis, like HR, IT, marketing, communications.
Well, that is a huge order. Is there a head count of how many members or how many people that are employed by the consortium?
We have approximately 2,000 employees statewide on any given day. The vast majority of our staff are located on the Alaska Native Health Campus here in Anchorage.
Wow. So mm-hmm. when you were, say, in school, did you have, in college, I would say, mm-hmm. did you have any specific training that would lead you to the job you have now?
When I was in college, I wouldn't say that I had specific training in the healthcare field. I actually have a bachelor's degree in history, and so you might ask yourself, how did you end up in a healthcare organization? And I would say it was my passion and my love for my people. Mm-hmm. And so while my undergraduate degree may not align with the healthcare field, I have always worked for my people in internships, apprenticeships, working with my village corporation, my regional corporation, my tribal council. And so I've had an opportunity to build that passion, and I get to bring it every day to work at the Alaska Native Tribal Health Consortium as well.
Now, did you start in administration, or did you like work your way up from a more lesser position?
Well, my first job that I ever had was on the back of my dad's commercial fishing boat. And so I would help him go out on his halibut openers.
Really?
That was a great, there's no better way to teach you to have a strong work ethic than on the back of a commercial fishing vessel, right? I've had an opportunity to, I would say, grow up from there. I had a number of internships. Most recently, I was the vice president of shareholder services for my village corporation, a Fognak Native corporation. But my first job at ANTHC was my current position as chief administrative officer.
Mm-hmm. Excuse mm-hmm. me. So a fishing boat is the perfect small business.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
So let's segue over here to Sam, who is sitting and waiting to tell us what the SBA does in Alaska. Sam, can you tell us about some of the programs that SBA offers? Well,
the SBA is a federal agency that was created in 1953 to help support small business and grow our economy. We do that through five major programs, but the three we concentrate most on are capital, credit, and counseling. helping people get the money they need to start or grow their business, to start, grow, and succeed, helping get counseling and training to help them get into business or answer questions they have along the way. And we also do business development through contracting, through helping people break into government contracting. Government contracting can be very lucrative, but it's very challenging, and it's a tough field to break into. And once you're there, you have to really keep things together to make sure that everything goes well. Every contract you'll be rated on, and past performance is everything. The government buys a little bit of everything. I tell people we buy everything from chewing gum to battleships. Not a lot of chewing gum, not a lot of battleships. But we buy paper and paper clips every day. We build buildings every day. So those are the kind of things. And we have employ people to do hundreds of different things. Right. Everything from washing towels to building buildings and mowing lawns.
Well, people think small businesses mean mom and pop grocery, hot dog carts. But can you define small business?
You know, that's the $60,000 question. Small is relative. Small is considered relative to your industry. So, for example, an engineering firm may have a revenue of $7 million a year and still be considered small, whereas a construction company, that would be like $37 million a year. In relation to what they do and other businesses in their industry, that's how they're classified as small or large. Typically speaking, service-type businesses are going to have a threshold somewhere around $7 million. Construction type business around $37 million. There are some variances in there. Some are lower, some are higher. For example, airline, and some have mixed sizes. For example, power generation is not based on revenue or employees. It's based on how much power you actually produce.
Wow. So can you tell me, does the SBA have programs specifically for women or minorities?
All of our programs, with very few exceptions, all our programs are open to everybody. We do have programs specifically for minority groups. We do a couple of programs specifically for women to help them break into government contracting through Women Business Ownership Program. We have specialized training and counseling through Women's Business Centers. Unfortunately, we don't have any Women's Business Centers in Alaska at the moment, but we're looking to rectify that here real soon.
I hope so.
Yeah, and they specialize, you know, they will help anybody that comes through the doors, but they really specialize in helping women start up.
Okay, and let's get into the government contract. People think government contract means this huge thing, the battleship, right? Mm-hmm. But you were telling me earlier that it could be a landscaping business.
Absolutely, it could be a landscaping business. Mm-hmm. Could be parking lot striping. They don't necessarily have to be huge things. We see $25,000 contracts. We see some that are smaller than that. Typically, most of the things that we see through our office are $100,000 or more. But we've also seen $100 million contracts, and on occasion, even larger than that, depending on what's being sought.
That's very interesting. Well, let's get back to Shauna for a minute, because we left her on the deck of the halibut boat, a small business. And what have you seen over the years now? I don't know how old you are, but I would imagine it's taken you several years to get from being a college kid to where you are now. What are the steps you took along the way? Can you talk about that a little bit?
Well, I think one of the most important steps I took was to go to school and to graduate. Mm-hmm. I don't believe that it matters what your degree is in. What matters is that you finish. I have a bachelor's degree in history and a master's degree in rural development. And what those degrees show my employer or potential employers is that I have a commitment and I'm willing to finish what I start. And so I think that was one of the most important things that I did as I grew up through my own career. I think the other was to identify mentors, individuals that emulated the skills, the values, the approaches that I wanted to be able to emulate myself in the workplace. And so, as I was growing up through my career, every time I worked in a workplace, I would identify somebody that I wanted to be. And I remember one of my mentors telling me once, you should dress for the position that you want to be, not where you're at. And so I did that. And I think those were just some of the key things that I did through my career that helped me to grow and be successful. But candidly, the most important is to work hard. you know, be diligent and passionate in what you do and give it 100% every day that you're at work.
And when you started, you said, you know, healthcare is very complex and getting more complex mm-hmm. all the time. Do you have a large staff that assists, or how does that work for you?
I work with a fantastic team. Mm-hmm. We have several hundred people that are dedicated to water and sewer projects in rural Alaska. We also have about 100-150 staff that work on community health services, and then a myriad of other folks that support our external divisions through our internal departments like HR, IT, and marketing communications.
When you were starting, you mentioned you looked for mentors. Did you seek them out? Did they seek you out, or was it sort of copacetic there? How did that work?
I was pretty active in looking for and finding my mentors, but I would say the mentors that had the most profound effect on me as an individual were those that I just happened upon, that I found I had a connection with. So, for instance, there was an elder that worked with me in Kodiak to help me learn my traditional language, Aleutic. And still today, some of the things that he taught me and the feedback that he gave me as an Aleutic elder shapes the way in which I make decisions and interact with the people around me. And he wasn't someone that I had a formal relationship with. It was more of a happenstance and something that had a profound impact on me.
Right. Sometimes you run into those words of wisdom at the least expected point. And in your work today, you said you make decisions. Are these statewide decisions or micromanaged decisions? How does that work, too?
I like to stay at a statewide or a visionary level. At times you need to get into the weeds of things with your staff, but in general you need to empower your staff to make their day-to-day decisions to get you where you need to go as an organization.
Wow. So let's take it over to Sam a minute. We were speaking about some mentoring experiences Shauna had. The SBA does provide a sort of not formal mentoring program, but you were telling me that people who have taken advantage of SBA programs often help newcomers. Can you talk to me about that a little bit?
We have a couple of programs that help in that respect. SCORE, mm-hmm. Some of us are old enough to remember they used to be called Service Corps of Retired Executives. Now they're just known as SCORE, Counselors to America's Small Business. And these are folks who have business experience who are willing to share that knowledge. And a lot of times you can find, if you have a question, you can find a SCORE counselor who has experience in exactly your industry. And that kind of information is just invaluable. Coming back to one of Shauna's points, she really think hit it on the head. If you're going to be successful, it's a lot of hard work. Mm-hmm. It's a lot of hard work, and you have to have a passion for it. And that makes all the difference in the world in toward of being successful. In terms of our contracting programs, we find that a lot of folks who finish those programs want to give back. And to this day, I call folks who graduate from these programs 10 and 15 years ago and say, hey, will you talk to this person? And they will do formal mentoring, they will do informal mentoring, they will take them under the wing and help them find work, they will provide them work themselves. They have very much a give back and, you know, I got help, now I'm going to help and pay this forward attitude.
And that is a great attitude because they say, you know, the small business is the backbone of a small community, and one or two jobs even in an Alaska village makes a big difference. Mm-hmm. Do you have any stories that you could tell, a specific one in mind? You don't have to mention names, but.
There's a lady in Southeast mm-hmm. who she's in logging, and she has literally trained several people who've worked for her over the years to start their own businesses. And they are now her competition. And she's happy to tell you who they are. She's happy to throw them work. You know, it's about growing not just you. As if you're at a small business, one of the things you quickly learn is that they're not just employees. They quickly grow into an extended family. And so you feel some responsibility toward them and you want to help them. And if they're doing well, you want to help them do even better. Mm-hmm. So we see people who help set up employees in their own business. We've seen folks that one of the family members of one of their employees got ill, and they were just told, take your time, do whatever you need, and they kept them in pay status, and they helped pay the bills. You know, there is that closeness that you see in a lot of small businesses. We've got folks who they've been successful, so they pay back by holding barbecues for homeless people or for veterans every year. It's not something they're required to do, but they want to do it. Mm-hmm. And they're passionate about doing that.
Right, because they have been successful and want to help others achieve that success. Shauna, let's turn to you. I was noting today, Arctic Slope Regional Corporation announced that their Vice President of External Affairs, Tara Sweeney, has been named to the Arctic Economic Council, which is a subgroup of the Arctic Council, for the next 2 years. And she is also with the Inuit Circumpolar Council. And it's a big honor for women, for a woman, and anyone, I guess. But have you seen more and more Native women entering the workplace over the years, you know, in your experience?
Absolutely. I believe that the Alaska Native community has been blessed with a number of powerful Alaska Native women leaders who have really shaped the direction of our programs, our services, our corporations, our tribes. And we continue to see that growth as we see Gen Xers grow into their own. And so it's quite exciting to see so many young women standing up to take on leadership roles in our community.
Did you find opposition when you decided to take a business path or to a business career? Did you find any opposition?
Actually, I didn't. What I did hear was encouragement, humble encouragement. I remember vividly growing up in the village and my father telling me, you will go out and you'll get a degree. And you're getting that degree not because you need to be better than our people, but because you need to have the education to help our people, to be successful and to be able to live in our village and live a subsistence way of life. And so that was the same encouragement that I got from my mentors, from my supervisors, and from my coworkers.
Wow. You also participated in Alaska Pacific University's program for a mentorship for emerging Alaska mm-hmm. Native leaders. Can you tell me a little bit about that experience?
Yeah, I would say for about 10 years, Alaska Native corporations had been beating on the door of academia saying, we need your help, we need to build a strong executive development program because many of our amazing Alaska Native leaders were approaching retirement. And so eventually a partnership was built between Native corporations and APU to found the Alaska Native Executive Leadership Program. That program is a 9-module graduate certificate program designed to prepare Alaska Natives to take on executive level positions within their corporations. So I was privileged to be one of the first members of the first cohort.
And it's mentoring, of course, is so important, I think, and I
Absolutely.
Think our society needs a little more of it mm-hmm. for young people. But I was trying to get at, how does it feel to be, say, a young woman, and you said your education maybe did not lead you into the health field, but there you are, and you were liking the job and enjoying it, and mm-hmm. Do they tell you, do mentors, like, tell you what to do, or do they guide you? Do they let you make your own mistakes? How does that work?
I think the best mentors give you advice, but they don't tell you what to do. Mm-hmm. You know, they may guide you, they may answer questions here or there, but ultimately they tell you that you get to make your own decision, that it's your own life, and that you need to determine the best path for yourself.
Okay. And you did.
I did.
Apparently so. Well, let's turn to Sam for a moment here. Mm-hmm. I wanted to get back at some of the Alaska angle for the SBA. You talked a lot about government contracts. Is that... and we talked about they can be large, they can be small, but is that really the only thing that SBA will do? Is that what the SBA has in view when it organizes or grants a loan to a small business?
No, actually, we have three different things that we're doing. Contracting is one of those angles. That contracting is actually done for the purpose of helping you build your business and developing your business. In fact, our programs require that as you go along through the program, you have to wean yourself literally off a government contract and you start acquiring more and more contracting outside or more and more revenue outside of that program. Otherwise, you can't stay in the program. So we're trying to make sure that by the time you get to the end of that program, you are not dependent on the government anymore for anything. Mm-hmm. So we really encourage that. Our loan programs are open to everybody. They're loan guarantee programs. You're going to go to your bank and ask for the money. If they give it to you, you're all set. If not, ask for a guarantee, and we provide that guarantee. That often induces the banks to, or the lender to give you the money, and it reduces their exposure and their risk. So let's say, for example, you've got everything, everything's great. You've got a great plan, everybody's risk going to work, but you don't quite have enough collateral, or maybe it's outside of their normal lending policy. Well, a guarantee will mitigate that risk for the lender. So they'll go ahead and make that loan with a guarantee.
So could you sort of maybe trace the line between somebody having a great idea for a business and then actually getting there? We have some great Alaska ideas, the Artoxia, the skin cream that was made out of crowberries, and that was a great idea, and apparently mm-hmm. is doing very well. The birch syrup people are doing very well. A lot of people come up with these Alaska, very specific to Alaska products. And how does it work? Say I would go to the SBA and say, I have this great idea, I'm going to make jelly out of fireweed. Would you then say, what?
Well, depending on what your need was, if your need was funding, we'd try to help you get down mm-hmm. that path. More often than not, what people really need at that point is, so can you really make money doing this? Mm-hmm. Who are your customers? A common question is, I'm going to start a cafe. Great. Do you have any experience running restaurants? Well, no, but my mom made the best chicken in the world. Well, that may be great, but you need to find out, can you do this? Do you understand the cost? Maybe you need to go get experience in this field before you go into it. Sometimes we look at things like, well, everybody loves this. Well, everybody in my circle loves this. Does everybody in a larger scale love this? So you need to do some test marketing and see how that's going to work out over a larger group. Is your market confined to a local area, or is it everywhere? Is it something that really will do well, say, translate well over the internet? So we want you to look at all those marketing possibilities. We can provide help with you along the way, finding people who can help you figure out how to strategize those things out, write those out in a business plan. Yeah. Oftentimes what we think will be a great idea, once you sit down and pencil it out, maybe not so much. On the other hand, we say things that people go, I don't think so, and they do very, very well.
Mm-hmm. Charisma, maybe.
You know, a large part of it is stick to it.
Hard work.
One of my favorite stories is a gentleman who came to us and said that he finally got his loan. Said, perfect, congratulations. Yep, the 117th bank he went to.
Mm.
You know, wow. It's that kind of passion, that kind of stick to it. And 25 years later, he's doing very, very well for himself.
All right. And Shauna, you may have had some discouraging moments along the way, but you stuck to it. And do you have any of those discouraging moments you would like to share that you overcame in your business trail of, you know, your business at life? Any setbacks that threw you for a loop for a bit and then you went, oh, I can do this?
So when I was in high school, I desperately wanted to learn my traditional language. And I went to my teacher at the time, because it was time to enroll in classes for the next semester of school, and told him that I wanted to learn Aleutic. And he said that there was no one that knew that language, and that it was something that I shouldn't be spending my time on. And mm-hmm. so I spent the next 2 years taking Spanish in high school. He enrolled me in Spanish. And I remember vividly thinking, that's not right. You know, I have great aunts and uncles who are fluent in Aleutic as well as Russian and English. So I know there are people that are in my community that know my language and could teach it to me. And so fast forward several years, I graduated from college and, you know, as Sam described, I had a stick-to-it-ness and decided that I was going to learn my language. And the planets aligned and an opportunity to work for the Aleutic Museum as the Aleutic Language Coordinator came about. And so eventually I was able to learn my language and work with elders and our communities to stand up our first ever region-wide Aleutic language program. I've since left our region and now live in Anchorage, but I can tell you that there are many wonderful people that have grown the program from everything from, you know, child learning instruction in the classroom all the way to college level courses. And that to me is an amazing, profound success.
Well, that's a great story. I've enjoyed mm-hmm. even hearing it, because look how far we've come now, or look mm-hmm. how far native languages have come. And we are running out of time. So I would like to ask you, Shauna, if a young woman came to you for advice, what would you tell her?
I would say stick to it, go to college and graduate. There are many wonderful scholarship programs out there. ANTHC has a $5,000 scholarship program. We also have internships if they're interested in healthcare. I'd also tell her to work hard, find a mentor, and be diligent about caring for her people.
Okay, thank you, Shauna, so much for being with us today. And Sam, thank you. I've enjoyed both of you. And you are listening to Alaska Edition on Alaska Public Media. We are running out of time, so I would like to say that we're coming back next week, maybe not with me, possibly with a different host. And I'd like again to thank Sam Dickey with the SBA and Shauna Hegler with the Alaska Native Tribal Health Consortium.
If you have questions or comments about the program, you can email Alaska Edition at alaskapublic.org or write us at 3877 University Drive, Anchorage, Alaska, 99508. Alaska Edition is a production of KAKM. The opinions expressed are those of the hosts and guests and do not necessarily represent those of KSKA, KAKM, the licensee, or their underwriters.